The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, your Son, our Savior, is with you in eternal glory. Give us faith to see that, true to his promise, he is among us still and will be with us to the end of time, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us be seated for the liturgy of the word.
The first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, the first chapter. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers. Together the crowd numbered about 120 persons and said, "Friends, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit through David foretold concerning Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become a witness who was also known as Justus. With us, excuse me, to his resurrection." So they proposed two, Joseph called Barabbas, who was also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed and said, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them. And the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. The word of the Lord. Psalm 1. Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful. They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper. Therefore the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteous. Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is from the first epistle of John, the fifth chapter. If we receive human testimony, the testimony of God is greater, for this is the testimony of God that he has testified to the Son. Those who believe in the Son of God have the testimony in their hearts. Those who do not believe in God have made him a liar by not believing in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And this is the testimony. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 17th chapter. Jesus prayed, "I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that Scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they may also be sanctified in truth." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
During the chapel time that I have with the preschool children on Tuesday and Friday mornings, we always have a prayer. After we light the candle and sing a few songs to set the mood, then we're ready to hear the story from the Bible. I have a little puppet, Mare, who helps me tell the stories to the children. After the Bible story, we say our prayer, and we pray for teachers and parents and families and brothers and sisters and pets, and you know how it goes. We pray and thanks that God loves us and that God cares for us. We always end this time of prayer by saying the Lord's Prayer. And even the youngest of these children, the little three-year-olds or even the two-year-olds, are able to participate in most of this prayer that we know so well, that has become so familiar to us all. We call it the Lord's Prayer, but it's really the prayer, it's not the Lord's Prayer, because this is a prayer that the Lord never said. This is a prayer that he gave to the disciples and to those who would follow after them. He gave this prayer to the church. This should be more appropriately called the church's prayer. The prayer that we heard in this gospel from John, that we heard proclaimed today, these verses and the verses that follow, this might more rightly be called the Lord's Prayer. This is the prayer that our Lord Jesus prayed. This is a record of Jesus' intercessory prayer for the church. This is Jesus' prayer for you and for me. Has anyone ever asked you to pray for them? maybe at a time of illness or a crisis in someone's life, they've come to you and told you the situation and you've responded, I'll pray for you. You may have even asked the parish prayer chain to be activated on the account of your family member or friend who needed this prayer. Many people call the parish office and ask Sandra to have their name or someone else's name added to St. Peter's prayer list. There's a very strong ministry of intercessory prayer in this congregation, and I'm very happy to see that. Almost every day of the week, there is someone here in the sanctuary saying aloud and praying for the number of people whose names are listed on our prayer list, praying for those people. Those times of public prayer, we pray for all of the members of the congregation, for our extended family and for our friends. All of these people are remembered in our prayer. And every time we gather as the family of God around this altar, we remember the members of the congregation and we ask God's blessing and protection. The deacon leads these prayers of intercession at our Eucharistic services, with each of us making our own responses to the petitions. These are not just the deacon's prayers, but they're our prayers. We pray, Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, have mercy. Hear our prayer. Listen closely as these prayers are proclaimed and as we respond. We're not just praying for the immediate concerns of the congregation or of the church at large, but we're praying for the whole world. We're praying for everyone that needs our prayers. And our prayers are the beginning of the mission to make God's love known in the world. The same concerns, the same power that moves us to prayer is the power that moves us to do something about those concerns that we pray about. These are no empty words. Intercessory prayer is not like a sweet pat on the hand as we say, there, things will be all right. Intercessory prayer is pleading with God to see this person and this situation and act powerfully in their lives, to act powerfully on behalf of the person for whom we are praying. Intercessory prayer, that is asking God on behalf of another, is one ministry that none of us will ever grow too old or too tired to do. In our baptism, we were given a direct line to God. The names of the members of St. Peter's who are especially in need of you to use that direct line on their behalf are always listed in the bulletin. There are names of other friends of the church and extended family that are on the list in the bulletin board in the parish hall. Now, I would encourage you to look at that list. Take that bulletin home with you during the week and keep these people in your thoughts and in your prayers. If you can come to church for morning or evening prayer and join your prayers with those of others, please do so. These are wonderful, peace-filled times of prayer. And you're all welcome to start your day or to end your day at St. Peter's as we gather for prayer at 8 in the morning and at 6:30 in the evening. These 15, 20-minute prayer times are prayers for each other, prayers for our church, prayers for those people whose names we say, who's on our prayer list. If you can't be here to pray, your ministry of intercessory prayer can be done in your own home, in your own time. It's a great comfort to know that people are praying for us, that others are remembering us in prayer. Last week, Don and I were out looking at some condos. We're looking for a place to live and a home to buy in San Diego, a place that we can call our own. Please pray that we might be able to find a place, a nice place at a reasonable cost. Well, anyway, the owner of this condo happened to be home when we were out looking at the place. And when she found out that we were from St. Peter's, she said, "Oh, that's the church that prays for me." And then she told the story a couple of months or maybe longer ago. Her parents were here visiting, and they came here to church. Their daughter has cancer, and they wrote her name on the card asking for prayer. The daughter said to us, "I never go to church, but it sure is nice to know that y'all are praying for me." Well, she didn't say y'all. It is a great comfort to know that others are praying for us. And what a great comfort and strengthening of our faith to know that Jesus has prayed for us. Not only on that occasion that we hear recorded in John's Gospel, but Jesus continues to pray for us. After his death, resurrection, and ascension, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God and constantly intercedes for us. If there is power in the prayer of our friends, if there is power in the prayer of community gathered, if there is power in the prayer of the Christian community gathered around the altar, how much more power is there in the prayer of Jesus Christ himself on your behalf? Truly, if God is for us, who can be against? This was such a compelling situation that John tells us about. Jesus praying for his disciples just hours before his crucifixion. We're invited to listen in on this very intimate conversation that Jesus has with his Father, Son talking to Father. And we get the idea of how Jesus thought about his disciples and how he thinks about us as well. You know, we've often been drawn a picture of the disciples as a ragtag group of guys who don't really get it, men who are clueless, unfortunate, unfaithful lot of guys. But in this prayer, we hear Jesus affirm them. Jesus lifts them up and describes them as worthy companions on the journey. And this prayer of Jesus is also about his followers today. This Lord's Prayer is not only for the apostles and the disciples a few centuries back who walked with Jesus and heard his teachings and saw his miracles. This prayer is for us. This is Jesus praying for you and for me. We need protection from the evil one. We need to be sanctified, to be blessed for our work in the world. Our world is so caught up with the struggle to attain, to succeed according to society's standards, to gain material wealth. That's the spirit of the world. Jesus prays that we might have a spirit that's other than that, that we might have the Holy Spirit. He prays that we can turn our eyes to the true goal of our journey on earth. The second petition that Jesus prays is that the Christian community show the same oneness that existed between Jesus and his Father. This is an important aspect of his prayer. Jesus brings it up more than once, talks about that unity, that oneness that he wishes, hopes for, prays for, that we would have. This isn't a prayer that we would all be one big happy family, that we would all be one church. This isn't about institutions and hierarchy and bureaucracies. Jesus is praying that there be a mutuality among us, like there is a mutuality between Jesus and his Father. They are one. The actions and the words of one are the actions and the words of the other. Jesus is praying that we abide in love in the way that Jesus has described abiding, the way he has described true love. Jesus' prayer is that we would all abide together in that vine that is Jesus Christ himself. The third petition that Jesus makes on our behalf to his Father is that the Christian community have joy, complete joy, his joy. This is in stark contrast to the situation and the attitude that exists in the world. We're not talking here about joy that is mere smiley faces, or even the joy that is warm hugs at the sign of peace. The joy that Jesus is talking about is the joy that is himself, that comes from the words of Jesus, words that are in contrast to the ways of the world. These are words that bring life. They're words that bring complete joy through our unity with Jesus in the Holy Spirit. So this is the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that the Lord prayed on our behalf, the prayer that the Lord prayed that we would be kept safe, that we would be in perfect unity, and that we would have complete joy. What a prayer. What a promise. Jesus prays that the nurturing love of God would protect us. He prays that we might realize the oneness that he has known with God, with his Father, that we would know that sense of community, the intimacy that says, I am known and loved by someone who knows me even better than I know myself. He prays that we might have complete joy in the reality of this world, not being taken out of the world, not being an escapist somewhere else. This is no pie in the sky kind of promise. Jesus is not asking that we be taken away from it all. Jesus' prayer is that we wouldn't get so caught up in the cares and the concerns of the world that we forget who and whose we are. We are children of God. We belong to him. We are grafted onto the vine. We have been splashed with the waters of baptism and nourished at the altar with the bread and wine that is the body and blood of Jesus Christ himself. The Lord's Prayer is that we would remember that, trust in that, and live in that truth. The Lord's Prayer is that we would remember who and whose we are. And so we are sent into the world. And we are sent as prayers to intercede on behalf of others as Jesus intercedes on our behalf. Yes, it is a great comfort to know that others are praying for us and that we can pray for others. But it is so much more than mere comfort to know that Jesus himself is praying for us. Jesus cares about us and about our concerns. We belong to him. We are cared for and loved by him. Jesus, who suffered and died, has risen and ascended for us. He has taken his place at the right hand of God and constantly intercedes on our behalf. This is indeed good news. Amen.